And you're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm your girl, Cherie Darien. Welcome. What's up, Savannah? Hope you're having a terrific Thursday. I'm so glad to be back with you. But before we jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And like I said, you're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. You know how we do it. Naked, unashamed, and unapologetic with our truth. And before we end the show, we will pass that baton to you. We're going to pay it forward, and hopefully you will do it too. Without further ado, I'm so excited. I have someone so special. Actually, we are next door neighbors, but she is terrific. And we actually were supposed to do this for some time now. Let me check in with her. Miss Heather, are you on
Cherie,
the line with
me? I'm here.
Hi, girl. What's up?
Hey, baby. How are you doing?
This is going to be super fun.
So excited. We have waited forever to do this, and it's been a long time coming.
Our lovely internet just stopped, so we're going to do that part over again.
Oh, no.
It did. You're fine. You're totally fine. So you were just saying that you were excited about being on the show today.
I'm very excited. We have been planning this for so long, and now it's finally here. I'm so glad we get to do this.
Yes. Awesome. So give me an opportunity to roll out the red carpet. And what that means is I get to introduce you to my lovely audience here in Savannah, Georgia, and the surrounding area, as well as my great friends around the world, literally. So who is Heather Cox? She is a beautiful, I should say, 43-year-old who has lived in Bluffton, South Carolina since 2004. She was raised, however, Savannah, in Brunswick, Georgia, and moved to Effingham at 18 years old. She actually graduated from Brunswick High School in 1995, and she is a country girl at heart. She took 2 years of college and had no idea what she wanted to do, but she did know that she wanted to help people. She worked with an organization called Random Acts, which helps people who suffer from depression and other issues. She also speaks with living donor transplants on what to expect because she is one. Heather's whole life has been about helping other people. It started at an early age and never stopped. She became a vet tech and animal caregiver because they had no voice. And so she gave them her voice when they were in pain, when they were hungry, when they were sad, or when they just wanted to be with others. She then began evolving and went into the medical profession as a MA assistant to help people who needed someone to listen to them, to help them, and not just be a number in a messed up system. Her search and desire then led her to help those in nephrology, those needing a kidney due to someone was put in her life at the right time. And that gave her a chance to show others that she wasn't just like most people, that she really cared. She again found herself evolving. Don't we all? She still finds herself evolving and discovering that she still needed more, that desire to want more, do more, be more. And therefore, she landed in the real estate industry. This was another way for Heather to help people, anyone, everyone on a broader scale. And it doesn't matter where you come from or where you're going, there's a home for you. She wanted to be a part of helping families, investors, and sellers help to make each other's dream a reality and work as a team. This beautiful love is a licensed real estate agent.
Yes, ma'am.
And she is with us today to talk about having your own home, sweet home. Heather,
yes,
thank you for being with us today.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad I can help and explain to the best of my ability of everything. I've had a busy life.
Yeah, you have. We all do. You know, everyone has a story. What I love about it, and I say often, it's a Clint Eastwood expression about the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we all have that.
Yes.
You know, and it's just which one of us, with the courageous part of my show, are brave enough to be naked, unashamed, and unapologetic and just share that, right? We're all human. Mm-hmm. You know, life is not a straight line. And we have some bumps in the road, right? But what do we do? What do we choose to do? So I love the fact that in your bio, you talk about evolving from one thing to the next. But one thing that I think rings true or consistent in your bio is your love for helping people. But I would say more than just a humanitarian effort, you even included animals in there. And yes. I know you're a cat mom.
Oh, yes.
Right?
So, yes. My
so
babies.
Yeah. So I think that's at your core. It's just part of who you are. Have you known that all your life?
Yeah. My mom used to joke that I was adopted. She Why? Was like, there's no, which that's fine. You know what? That's okay. Because I've always wanted to help. I've never not been the one to not help someone or to not listen when someone needed to be listened to or to defend those who needed to be defended. Mm-hmm. Old saying is like, I go by, I don't know how to put my swords down.
Oh, wow.
And
Are you a fighter? You're so sweet though. You're absolutely, oh my God, beautiful personality. But
I fight for what I believe is right. And don't get me wrong. I'm not right all the time. None of us are. None of us are perfect by any means.
Yeah.
But sometimes, a lot of times, you have to fight for what you think is right and for those who need you to fight for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how or they've never had to. And sometimes, a couple of old sayings of mine is like, everything happens for a reason. When one door closes, another one opens. But
yeah.
Sometimes in order to do the right thing, sometimes you have to do the wrong thing. And I've been on that end too.
Girl. What?
And I'm okay with that.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? That's some nuggets there. Unpack that. Tell us what you mean.
Just sit down and be quiet. Sometimes you need to sit down and be quiet. You need to know what you're placed or you need to know what you're talking about or you don't know what you're saying or you don't understand it. You're right. I don't understand it. And I may not understand it to a complete thing, but I'm not going to stand here and let you tell me when I'm defending someone who all they want is an answer and an explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that mean even if you're the only one in the room standing, are you willing? Are you that person that's willing to stand up for others when, even if you have to stand by yourself? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many a times I stand alone.
Yeah.
And it's nice when there's others with me. I don't know. Part of me doesn't know how to react sometimes to those that stand with me because I've never really had that. And I'm in an experienced relationship now where I have someone who's an equal. So it's getting used to that. I'm not alone.
Yeah. So you've been used to fighting alone.
Yeah.
Without that support system. So actually getting used to, first of all, attracting a suitable partner is beautiful, right?
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. But I can understand the adjustment when you haven't had that. I'm sure we've longed for it, right? But when you finally get it, it is an adjustment, right?
Huge adjustment. Huge.
And it's like, is this really real?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I love it. It's a beautiful love story. You know, we're going to have a follow-up conversation on that. But I really want to share that in the midst of you evolving and helping people for so long, first of all, you and I are neighbors, like literally neighbors. You are literally like, next door
right
to
here.
Me. Yes. Our homes are right beside each other. And we're going to be talking about real estate today. We're going to be talking about first-time home buyers and what the market's like today, what puts you in this path of your profession. But we also, ironically, we're just talking about fighting for others, and we live in the same subdivision, but we are also on the HOA board together as well. In fact, yes. You are the president. I am the vice president of our own neighborhood HOA, Homeowners Association, for those that aren't following with us. And it's interesting, this whole concept of looking out for other people, because we ended up taking over the HOA because other people, our neighbors, were being taken advantage of.
Yes.
And so here we are today. You're talking about always wanting to help others, and we're here together and literally our neighbors, but we're having this conversation, and we're going to talk about the real estate industry, because this is what you're doing now. Your own journey has shifted, right? You're talking about pivoting, and obviously we hadn't even touched COVID yet.
But, oh no.
It's just interesting how you landed in the real estate industry. Why don't you tell us how your path got where you are today?
By this home, by the struggles of trying to find a home and realizing it's time to make something ours.
Really? Is this it your may first not, home?
Very first home. Got tired of moving, tired of everything. And it may not be the ideal perfect home right now, but we make it our own. You put, to me, a home is your bones, and you may not get that perfect home right off the bat, whether you're a first time buyer or second time buyer, but you make it your own. You put your own stamp on it, knock down a wall, add a few paint, make some paintings or drawings, or make it your own.
Right.
That is my biggest thing with everything. I'm like, make it your own. You can do whatever you want to do your home to make it your own.
Yeah.
Now it may not be what the next, if you put it up for sale, it may not be the next seller's interest or vibe in that home, but that doesn't mean that they can't change it.
Right.
You have to look past, it's like people, look past the imperfections, look to the heart of that.
Yeah. The potential.
And that's what we've been doing here.
Your home is absolutely gorgeous. Now, obviously I've been here longer than you guys, but I remember when it was dirt, like there was no house there.
Yeah, that's right.
I do. I remember that. And I obviously remember the couple that actually built that house. The couple before, well, actually, no, that's many years ago. So the people that you guys bought the home from were totally different than the original owners of the house. So interesting, because they were actually former military. Crystal, who I'm thinking of, That's so amazing. That was so long ago. They had little children. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on that tangent. But I didn't know that, first of all. I didn't know that this was your first home that you had purchased. But I found that amazing for the conversation that you and I have today. You know, inspiring, motivating, empowering potential first-time home buyers that are listening to us today. Here it is. You are a great example that it's possible.
It is possible. It is possible for those who think, and it doesn't matter who you are, what you do for a living.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's possible. There are a lot of buyers are afraid because of their credit, or they may not make enough. That doesn't mean that you're not going to qualify. It just means you may qualify. I don't know the mortgage side. So that's out of what we used to say in the middle field scope of practice.
Yes.
But they will help you. They will help you reach your goals and tell you what you need to get you approved. The best thing a buyer in this market can do is get pre-qualified, get pre-approved. So that way, when you go in for your realtor, you know what your price range is. You know what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may not be what you wanted. It may not be that
fancy $500,000 home.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you can't make it into your own home. You can't make it into what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that you can. It may take time. It may take a few years, but it can be done.
Did you think it would be easy when you were buying your first home? What was your idea? What was some of the myths that once you did it, you realized, oh, wow, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it was, or?
Oh, that they are going to need a complete, you know, basically background checks and all this, you know, oh, they're going to need to go through your entire history, work this, work that. To be honest, it was your credit score was your biggest thing. Work history, how long were you at your job? Or if you did switch jobs, what job did you go to? Your tax income, IDs to make sure you were who you were. It was scarier to actually, oh my gosh, we're buying a house than
making
it was.
Making that commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you think about all the money that you put into renting, you could, that's your down payment. You could do it. But it was the commitment, the fear of like, okay, now I own it. I'm buying it. Now I have to get the homeowner's insurance. And now I have to at least have some cushion in the bank.
Yeah.
In case something goes wrong. What if the AC goes out? What if this goes out? Because you're going to have these problems because now you're not a renter anymore.
Right. So now it's not the landlord taking care of these potential hazards or issues like the roof or, like you said, the AC unit or the water heater or something like that, or landscaping.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Something, you know, anything like that. It's really on you. But at the end of the day, either you be responsible for those items, potential repairs, mm-hmm. or you just pay for somebody else's.
Exactly.
Right. You just pay your rent and you never own it.
No. Yeah,
I got tired of that. That's why I ended up buying this. We built this home from the ground up, but it's because we kept renting. Yeah. And it's like, no, we're not creating an asset by doing that. Yes, we have a safe place to stay, but you know, you also, I'm just interested from the industry, want to hear from you the impacts that COVID has had, if any, as being a realtor, since COVID. What impacts have you felt, if any?
Safer impacts. Like I will ask people if I have showings or host showings to wear masks, disinfectant. You find yourself cleaning up after yourself, behind yourself, behind every client. I remember getting this house and our realtor was amazing. She drove us to all the different properties. Now we prefer to meet, which is safer on both levels because you people and then with COVID. Right. So it's definitely every realtor is different. So I can't speak for everyone, but I know with me, I prefer to clean up after myself and clients and to keep things wiped down. And I carry hand sanitizer, mask, gloves, Clorox wipes in the car.
Yeah.
And I also just wipe down doorknobs and everything like that afterwards and masks. Some people don't wear them, but I wear mine.
Yeah. So. I know when I was obviously we built from the ground up, but I know when we were in the market to purchase a home, we could just see other homes that were already built, right? We could go in there and just kind of tour the houses. What's changed? Because it was interesting to hear that you have to be pre-qualified first. Tell us about what that process looks like.
What it is like what I was saying earlier, to be pre-qualified, pre-approved. Say you want to look at a house that is $104,000. They have to make sure that you're approved for that because if you love that house and you want to put an offer in, you have to be pre-qualified. So a lot of realtors will ask, like I say, I call in to another realtor and they will ask, well, is your buyer pre-qualified? What is their limit? Or is this above their limit, below their limit? Because they have to make sure when an offer is put in that they can meet the offer and whatever the seller or buyer come back with.
So I guess that would certainly eliminate some unnecessary showings and prevent you from actually showing people homes that they can't afford.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think so. What it does is, to me, I think it, I don't want to say, to me, expectations and hopes, you want this home so bad, and then you go and look at it and you fall in love with it. And then you go to the bank.
Yeah.
And then it comes back. It's like 320, but you're only approved for 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your dream, it's like shatter.
Yeah.
So part of me wondered, like I said, this is again mortgage, so I'm not 100% sure. And I could, and some realtors may disagree, and I'm still new. But to me, I think it's kind of like, I don't want to say double-edged sword, but it's kind of protecting, but it's also maybe protecting the person from getting their, that shatterment. I want this house so bad. I know I can. Mm-hmm. And you can't have it. And it's just
devastating
because it's that perfect, you know, it's the perfect yard. It's the perfect number of rooms. It's the perfect, the family loves it. The kids love it. My fur babies love it. But I'm only qualified for this. So,
but you should start somewhere, right?
Yes. Start somewhere.
Your first home doesn't necessarily have to be your last home. It's just your starter. No. Home,
yes.
Right.
It's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's an investment. It's a starter home. Or it could be your forever home. It's entirely up to whatever you choose to do with it.
Right. Right. So you have been doing this how long now?
Since October of last year.
Oh, you're really new to this industry. What did you do prior to?
MA.
Okay.
Caretaker. Medical assistant and caretaker. Yeah.
Right. Wow. And so after purchasing your own home, you were just sold that, yeah, you're going to do this. You could see yourself making a living doing this. Is it a lucrative profession?
It is. It's very, there's a lot of realtors out there. There is. But a lot of realtors I have found work together. Like I can call certain realtors that I've met and ask an opinion, and they are willing to help. They don't ignore, they don't anything. They will help.
Are
which
there
is,
types of loans that you don't do or prefer to do? Like VA loans, FHA loans, anything like that?
FHA, VA, conventional loans. We do at my company.
You do.
We do.
FHA, VA. You said one more. I'm sorry.
Conventional. The conventional loan. Yeah. And our people are so nice, and they give back. Our people give back. I love that.
What made you choose the company that you're with? Or did you close with them?
No, I chose the company that I'm with because they gave me a shot and they believed in me when I needed it. And it's not big. It's not, you know, great, big, huge company, family oriented. We all treat everyone like family, buyers, sellers, each other.
Mm-hmm.
We give each other surprise birthday parties when they come into work.
Yeah.
They treat everyone the same. I don't care how old you are, who you are, color, where you work. I don't care if you've got $40 in your bank account or $400,000 in your bank account. You're treated like family and you're treated the same. And
awesome.
That is where I needed to be. I needed to be in a place where I would be able to work with a variety of people and have that backing of, they know how I am, where I'm at, of how much I go to battle or for people, or, you know, let's give it a shot. And to have that kind of backing and for them to value people also. Yeah.
Obviously that's important to you. That's pretty cool. But you're cool. You're amazing. You're amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. With that being said, we're at the halfway point, Savannah. We're going to take a brief pause just for a couple of announcements. Want to remind you, you're listening to WRUULP 107.5 FM. We'll be right back with you.
What kind of people operate a radio station like WRUU? We do not provide the best music and talk programming in Savannah for financial gain. We do it as a service to the discriminating radio and streaming listener, you. Your average radio and streaming listener likes the same thing over and over again. But you, the discriminating listener, likes and deserves variety. Other radio stations regard their listeners as a commodity, but we regard you as part of our community. Your average radio and streaming listener wants music and talk that they can hear pretty much anywhere else in America. But you, the discriminating listener, likes things from and about Savannah, this place that we all love. We at WRUU know that you are the discriminating listener, so we take a gamble to provide the radio and streaming content that you want and deserve, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We offer you our programming without any guarantee that you'll support us with the funds we need to survive. We know that you are the discriminating listener, and we need your support to keep this radio station going. We're counting on every listener, and that means you, to make a financial contribution today. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm your girl, Cherie, and I'm on today with my girl, Miss Heather.
Hi.
Our neighbor, the one, the only, the best real estate agent in the low country. Yes, Savannah, you want to reach out to this sweet lady. And I say that on purpose. When I tell you a heart of gold, oh my God, impatient and always putting someone else's needs above her own. I mean, this is what I've seen her do, like literally over and over and over again. So yeah, good people. You want to know, just know someone that's a good person, then you want to reach out to Miss Heather.
Oh, Heather, sorry, thank you. I am. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean it with all of my heart. I do, because it's true. So you know what I want to talk about right now?
Yes. What?
I want you to give us a sneak peek behind the scenes view of the day in the life of a real estate agent. So what is it like going to work now? You've been doing this since October of last year. I mean, what was it like when you first joined? Just tell us about the journey to now.
The journey to now. Oh my gosh. Okay. So everything that I've learned, you use, but then you learn more because I have an amazing real estate manager who helps me. If it wasn't for her, I'd be so lost. I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing. But you try to connect with people, other realtors, or you talk to different businesses and tell them what you do for a living. Or I'm a realtor. If you're looking for anything, give your card out.
You're not staying in your cubicle or office all day long looking pretty.
No.
You're hitting the pavement and you like that.
Yes. Actually, I do, because I get to meet so many people. You get to talk to people. And sometimes you're going to get some who don't want to talk, that, you know, hand them a card. And that's fine. I don't mind. Here's my card. You know, let me know if I can help you. And I find that word of mouth is the biggest thing. And even though I've been here for so long, since 04, I didn't go a lot of places around or anything like that. You know, I had a family, I had kids. And so it's really branding yourself.
Right.
And working your sphere of influence. Are you talking to your neighbors, your friends, your people that you meet?
Yeah. So it's building relationships.
Yeah. Building relationships that last. You become friends.
Right.
One client in particular I have now.
Yeah.
And go to my first closing this Wednesday. I'm so excited.
Is this your first one since October?
Yes.
How long does it take to get a new client?
I got really lucky and got a client in November.
Awesome. Good for you.
But the best thing about, it's not about, I know people are like, oh my gosh, you're going to make money. No, you don't make money when you start out. It takes a while. You build up. Some get lucky, some, but whatever.
Right.
The best thing for me, I made a friend out of it. Like, I know her family. I mean, we're friends. I'm meeting her at the house tomorrow. I mean.
Oh, you get to see her dreams come true.
Yeah, I get to see, she's selling her home. I mean, I get to finally meet her husband, and we talk almost every day. I call her and, you know, it's just, you make relationships, you make friends, you make connections. Meaningful relationships, that talking on the phone and just emailing one another, and not even about real estate, just about everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. That's super cool. So what do you do though, when you get your day started, when I hear that beautiful red car start up in the morning and you scoot out, what does your day look like? Tell us about it. What do you do first thing in the morning through when you come back?
First thing in the morning is I try to go through, because I'm also an office assistant, which is very amazing to the office manager there at work. So they gave me a chance for that too. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not that, I am going around with part of the mortgage team. We are handing out magazines, part of Baklava. I'm passing out my cards. I'm talking to people. I'm going to the police stations, fire stations, different businesses, vet offices, places that I know that I can relate to.
Right.
And just to let them know that not only can you buy your home, but people actually, if you have a home in certain areas, people actually want to buy your home.
Mm-hmm.
So you can not only be a buyer in today's market, you can be a seller in today's market. A lot of people are like, well, a lot of people, you know, can be scared, but people actually, they're moving farther from up north in different areas and moving here. And
right.
People are actually looking for homes to buy. So this buyer's market can actually be flipped and turned into a seller's market.
That's interesting. It's usually one or the other, but what I hear saying is like there's great supply and demand kind of in both directions right now. That's interesting.
It is interesting to me that a lot of realtors are like, we're out of inventory, and it's not just here. I mean, I can do Savannah, Effingham, Springfield, because South Carolina and Georgia are
right there.
And so people want homes in Port Royal, close to downtown, Fripp Island, Ladies Island, Rincon, Guyton.
Yeah.
So for all those homeowners who maybe they've been thinking about, you know, maybe I should sell, should I sell?
Right.
People actually would pay.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm wondering, since COVID again, you know, New York was hit extremely hard, if not the hardest, at least in the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. And I know a lot of people were trying to leave that area. I wonder what's, you know, the reason why people are shifting. Is it because of, or how much of the pandemic has led to those decisions?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but to me, it seems like just from sitting back and watching,
yeah,
it seems like it has affected those decisions because they want to be, I guess, the population. So yeah. They want to come further down or further Alabama and Louisiana and Georgia, Florida, South Carolina. I don't know if they just feel like it's time to sell and come down. Maybe.
Do you think the real estate industry, you think a lot more people are becoming real estate agents now?
Yes, that I do. I think a lot more are becoming real estate agents because, well, the supply and demand, but maybe certain areas are getting overwhelmed and they maybe need more.
It's interesting. I'm thinking from a small business mindset, which I mm-hmm. love, small business.
Me too.
Is it more commission-based where you have more control over your time, or is it like going to a regular office clocking in?
To me, it's weird because I can do both. I go in because I'm an assistant, but I'm a real estate agent too. So actually, I've been known to be on the phone till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I will help people try to find it. They call me and just be like, I got your name and number.
Right.
I'll automatically start looking and I'll look for days. And I can stay up till as late as I can and do as much as I can to find them what they need. And hopefully, my goal is to hopefully find them what they need. Whether they go with me, that's fine. They don't have to. But to know that I helped them and got the opportunity to help them, that's all that matters to me.
Right. So as a real estate agent, though, do most real estate agents work remotely or do they work like in the office?
Most work remotely, I think.
Yeah. I think
you're different
because you're doing some of the administrative work mm-hmm. as well. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you've learned since you've been there that you can't learn in a book or the classroom?
Oh my gosh. The contracts, the actual contracts of the buyer and the seller, of what goes into it. The seller might not agree to the buyer, so they have to come back with a counter. It's negotiating counter offers and closings. Like, I had to get advice today in my first closing. Like, okay, well, what do I ask? What do I wear? Learning the MLS, the multiple list system, learning the National Association of Realtors, you take an oath that you follow. Right. And you take that oath and you take it to heart and you learn so much I didn't know.
Yeah.
That goes into it with the counter offers and, you know, making sure you have to follow the dates. You have to pay attention to your dates on your calendars with the contracts. You have to pay attention. You have to get everything lined up, because one little thing could stop a closing.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat, just stop it right there. And like, I was
what?
Like,
for example, what?
Oh my gosh.
Closing disclosure to closing costs.
It could be something like that. Or let's say like maybe a CL-100 wasn't done for a FHA or a VA loan or something, a CL-100 or a conventional or something. And they thought it was done. And then they go to closing and it wasn't done.
Right.
And it's required. And you can't close.
So from a compliance standpoint, you got to have all your ducks in a row.
You have to. You have to.
Yeah.
And it's on both realtors to have those, because it falls on your head if one of, you know.
So what about the actual getting licensed? Don't you have to complete an exam? Was the exam difficult for you?
The exam, the PSI exam, I'm a weird tester. I overcomplicate things. Uh-huh. When I shouldn't.
Okay.
I make things way more complicated than they should be. So it took me maybe 3-4 times to do it. I passed the national, but the state gave me a run for my money, the state part. But yeah, you have to take in South Carolina a total of 90 hours to get your real estate license. You take your first 60 and you can be eligible to take the PSI exam. But yeah, that PSI exam is... You're timed. To me, it was hard.
Right. But you did it.
I did it. I did do it. I put a lot of long hours, nights, practicing tests. Excuse me. I kept my face buried in books and computer. And
how much of it you think you actually use on a day-to-day basis now that you had to test?
80%.
Okay. Well, good. So it was beneficial. It was definitely helpful.
It is very helpful, because you go back to that things that you learned in class, or you think back to that stuff that you're like, oh my gosh, we went over this in class. I remember.
But do you think you said 90 hours? Did you say 90, 80 or 90 hours?
90 hours total.
Well, you think about it. If you work a regular job, that's 40 hours a week. That's really 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks.
Of class time?
Yeah. Which is not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's the way it's broken up. And like for what I took was I did mine on the weekends. So of course it was Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. So longer.
Right.
But you do weekdays, you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for 3 weeks, and then you have a break, and then you do your 30 hours, which is a Monday through Friday straight class.
Yeah. And it's done.
It's done. And then you take the PSI, the big boy.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. So first of all, I think you're encouraging a lot of people today.
I hope so.
They have either wanted to purchase their first home, those that may be considering selling their home, as well as those that may be interested in actually becoming a real estate agent as well. So we're really serving the greater office, because at the end of the day, we need somewhere to sleep.
Exactly. We need somewhere to go. Exactly.
Right? It's still the American dream, right? And so,
yes.
Yeah, this is a really helpful conversation. What are some things that you would share with a buyer? What are some things that a buyer should know about the market?
About the market is, get that pre-approval so you know where you stand. on what you can, what you're approved for, because that is the biggest thing. And don't get disappointed and don't get disheartened at all if it's not the perfect home right off the bat. I mean, you're going to see the bunches of home. You don't have to settle for the first home. But always remember, you can always put your stamp and make it your own.
Yeah.
Always remember that.
Have fun with it. That's the thing.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Enjoy it. You've got to.
Yeah. And it's the first one. It doesn't necessarily have to be the last one. And I would also say, as a lender, that you're going to get that pre-approval. And that pre-approval, here's some keywords, up to.
Mm-hmm.
200,000 doesn't mean get a house at 200,000. So your home can be 150,000, right? This is saying the max you're qualified for, 200,000. This is for an example. So just be mindful of those two words, up to that, whatever that number is. Am I correct or am I off?
I believe that is exactly right. Like I said, from the mortgage side, I haven't spent
common sense. It's up.
But yeah, it is. It is common sense because.
Right. But to your point earlier about people being disappointed when they see a house that's outside of their budget or what they can afford, stay away from that. Like, don't even set yourself up. So that was really good. We were talking about some things that buyers should know before they get in the market, and you saying getting pre-qualified. So we're going to switch it now and say, what are some things the sellers should know?
The sellers should know that if they want to sell, so this is a seller's market too, and that they need to know, I would definitely get the home appraised to see how much, because the different areas in the home, how much the home would be worth. That way they know, because you could put any number on a price tag, but you have to go with what your comps are in the neighborhood. So I would get my home appraised to see how much it really is worth. And find an agent who will take into consideration your needs as well, because a seller has needs too. They have needs just as a buyer does. And to me, being either a seller, being for the seller, or being for the buyer, you've got to take in those needs of each. Yeah. If I had a seller, take in what they want. Take in and present them and listen to them.
Yeah. Negotiate.
Yeah. Negotiate and go by what they want.
Yeah.
You can give them advice. At the end of the day, it's their decision. Mm-hmm. The only thing, they can ask you your opinion, but at the end of the day, they have to understand that it's their decision, not you. You're there to help. That's why I went into doing this. I just want to help. I can't make it for you, but I want to help you to the best of my ability.
Right. How many counters usually go into a sale? Are you familiar?
Not really. With my counter for this sale that I just had, I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4 different counters back and forth, well, a total of 4 back and forth. And that, to me, I didn't think it was bad, but I don't know. I mean, I guess some realtors can have more, some realtors can have less.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on the realtor and the buyer and the seller.
So when someone lists their home, what's considered long, like being on the market long, a long time?
I would want to do, let's see, 30, 60, 90, 120, that's 4 months. To me, 6 months would be a long time. If you've got it on there for half a year, like that's my opinion. I mean, some realtors, they're different. And sometimes you lower the price if it's been on there for a long time. Let's say you've had it on there for 120 days. And okay, so maybe let's think about how could we maybe lower the price, maybe offer some incentives, just something.
Yeah.
To see how it works
with
those incentives or lowering the price value down a little bit.
Right. So are you happy? Are you happy with your chosen profession? And if so, why?
I am happy. I am happy in this profession so much because I'm helping. I know to some people it says they think like, well, you're a realtor. How are you helping? I'm helping by helping people find that home or sell a home to find another home. I'm helping them. It's the American dream to have a home or to start a family in the home or retire in this home, to bring your first child home.
Yeah.
Or to bring your first fur baby home.
Yes.
I mean, it's helping. It's, yes, it's work to find that home. It's to show, but I don't care.
Are there any downsides? Because, you know, I don't want someone to hear us and think we're just trying to promote home ownership. Everybody should have their home. My home is my sanctuary. The world is outside of our door.
Yes.
But when I get behind my door, I feel like I can woosah.
Me too. I'm safe. I'm like, oh, I can breathe. I can let everything go. It's gone.
This is my safe place. This is my private sanctuary.
Yes.
This is where I can go and escape from everything else.
Yes.
Right? Everybody should have that place.
Me too. Me too.
But are there, for you, do you have any cons, if you will, to home ownership?
Be prepared. That's why I said have
it's
that
a responsibility.
It is right? A huge responsibility.
Yeah, it's not so much a con. It's just being cognitive of the fact that it's a major purchase, one mm-hmm. of the biggest purchases you ever make in your lifetime. And it's a lot of responsibility because you don't have someone else coming in to make these repairs. It is yours. And you're responsible.
It is yours. You're responsible.
Interesting enough, Heather, we were talking about the HOA at the beginning. You know, even builder issues, right?
Yes.
Your builder, because there's a statute of limitations. If things aren't, say, if there's something that went wrong with your plumbing, if that didn't occur, if you didn't get those things addressed in the first, say, 10 years, forget mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
And 10 is probably a stretch. It's probably less than that. But those are some of the things that I've learned personally with building my own home. I didn't realize that these were issues that I need to make sure that were addressed and that were, if there were problems with it, that they were corrected early on before that warranty, if you will, went away. Obviously, if your appliance go out, you got to replace that, right?
Right.
Landscaping, it's spring now. And so the mm-hmm. grass growing, it's on us to actually make sure that we take care of that.
Yep.
There's so much that goes into, but it's so rewarding at the same token.
It is.
Rewarding.
It is, because if you think about it, I know the cons are there. The cons are there because now it's on you. It is your responsibility. That AC breaks, you got to get a new one. It's coming out of your pocket.
Right.
That plumbing underneath the sink, yes. You got to call that plumber and you got to pay him. But at the same time, I don't like the color of this room. You know what?
You can change it.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to go to Home Depot and get the swirl. And figure out what color I'm going to paint it.
Yeah.
So there's rewards.
Yeah.
You've got your cons and you got your pros.
Yeah. But like, as is life.
Just like your car. It's like a car. Well, you can't drive your house away. I mean, well, but but it's the same thing. It's like, think about when you were a teenager. Okay, I like this. And you got your first ever car. It may not have been your car you wanted.
Right. But it was yours.
But it was your car.
Yeah.
And you knew that one day you were going to move up.
Mm-hmm.
It may take a while.
Yeah.
But you knew you were going to do it.
Yeah.
But so you made that car your own, whatever you did to it.
Yeah.
You made it your own.
Listen, we're about to wrap this episode up. We've zoomed back through it. But why don't you give your contact information? Anybody may have some questions about this whole deal of purchasing their first home, or, you know, it may be some things that I didn't ask you, but they may wanted to ask and have some questions about it. Why don't you give your contact information so they can buzz you?
Yeah. If you want to, you can reach out. It is at 912-596-6346. You can contact me at realtor.heathercox@gmail.com. Reach out to me there. I also have a Facebook page. It's Heather Cox at Home Realty. You can message me there. And if I can't help you, I promise you, I will find someone who can.
Yeah, and I promise you she will. So the last question is, are you happy? You didn't tell us why you're happy. I want to know why you're happy. I can see that you're happy, but why do you love doing this particular type of work?
It's helping. It is honestly, the people that I meet, and I know at the end of the day that even though if I didn't help them, you don't have to sign with me. I at least helped you find someone who could help you.
Yeah, she means
That
it.
is my biggest thing.
So, what do you want to say to anybody that's listening as we close today's episode?
Anybody that's listening, I know I'm new, but just if you want to go out there and see about buying your home if you can, or even selling your home. People will buy it, but be happy. I know it may not be the home that you want or dream of, or it may not be your credit scores that you want, but make it your own.
Yeah,
Make
get
it your
started.
own.
Live life.
Live life to the fullest because you never know what's going to happen. Paint that room, knock down a wall, add a painting.
Yeah.
There's so much potential that can be done.
Yeah.
And there's always someone that's going to help you, that's willing to help you. All
That's
you have to do is ask.
super cool. You're absolutely amazing. I am so proud of you. You know
Oh,
that. I
thank
love you so
you.
much. You're
I love you.
amazing. You're
Love you
amazing.
too.
And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you get so much pure joy for helping others accomplish their dreams. And you get that back. I believe it, you reap what you sow. And so
Yes.
many good things comes back to you because you're out here giving so much goodness and serving all of us. So with that being said, Savannah, we're going to talk to you next week. I want to you all to give a virtual high five to Miss Heather Cox for being our special guest today. And I want to remind you, you've been listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And until next week, Savannah, take care.
Bye, Savannah.